Hello and welcome to the Monday, April 21st, 2014 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm there recording from Augusta, Georgia. Owners of jailbroken iPhones are reporting finding a suspicious library, unflood.dylib, that has turned out to be spyware. The malware has been analyzed by Sektion 1, and as part of the analysis, it was found that the malware is linking itself into SSL connections and then looking in outbound SSL traffic for usernames and passwords. I will link to the write-up, which does include some indicators of compromise, like IP addresses the data is being reported to. The data is being exfiltrated in the clear, not via SSL. And just to reiterate, this will only affect jailbroken iPhones, so normal non-jailbroken iPhones should not be affected by this particular problem. However, at this point, I haven't really seen any infection mechanism being discussed. More likely, it's either just a malicious download that the user willingly installed, or just weak passwords, as we have seen them sometimes in jailbroken iPhones before. And some of the remaining users of Windows XP are reporting that Security Essentials, the basic Microsoft anti-malware scanner, is causing Windows XP to crash. As a quick fix, it seems to be sufficient to turn off real-time scanning, but overall, Security Essentials should still work for Windows XP, and actually Microsoft announced to continue to support Windows XP for Security Essentials for at least another year or so in order to provide legacy users with some basic anti-malware support. And White Hat Security came up with a study to finally put at rest the question, which programming language is the most secure for web applications? And what they found is it doesn't really matter what language you use. White Hat's tested sites that they have contracts with. So given the pricing of White Hat services, these are not hobby sites. So these are sites where people do have some basic understanding of the need for security and such. And I think as a result makes a pretty fair test in particular when it comes to factors like, for example, the experience of developers. Now, one thing that White Hat did find in its study is that the kind of errors that they find changes a little bit from language to language, but overall the number of problems doesn't change. One thing I kind of found odd with PHP is that the most common vulnerability is insufficient transport layer encryption. Now, I didn't see any more details as how White Hat defines transport layer encryption, but usually that would mean SSL, and really enabling SSL in a web application is typically not a matter of the language being chosen, but really more a server configuration, and the same no matter in what language you code in. Cross-site scripting and information leakage are the top two vulnerabilities, no matter what the language. The problem with cross-site scripting, I believe, is that no language really has tackled the problem to provide an easy and simple encoding API that developers could use to properly encode output. As far as information leakage goes, actually for .NET, that's the number one problem, followed by cross-site scripting. I believe with information leakage, there's just no awareness yet with developers how serious information leakage can be. For example, if you have a second vulnerability, that is then a lot easier to exploit. And as a result of not really being taken all that serious, I do frequently see developers just dump path names and the like as part of an error message. And remember a couple months back, we talked about a backdoor that was found in many routers that opened up port 32,764. This particular backdoor was apparently introduced by Sercom, a manufacturer of chipsets used in routers, and was removed as a result. Well, or so at least we thought. Turns out that the binary that implemented the backdoor was not removed, it was just altered to now listen on a Unix socket, not on a network socket. But things are worse. There is now a second feature that waits for a special Ethernet packet and then enables this backdoor again and makes it listen again on this infamous port. So the problem here is the tool was not removed and it can be reactivated. However, the reactivation requires a special Ethernet type 8888, which cannot be sent across a router. So the activation packet has to be sent from the local network. This could, for example, be a problem for public hotspots or such that do allow Wi-Fi access. In this case, a user may be able to send this magic packet across the network. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.